in the second half of the day, 2 p.m.-ish. I really appreciate you coming back, and I appreciate people who are coming in. Thank you very much. Yay! I know there's lots of choices, and I appreciate that you have such good taste and superior judgment, very discerning in your perspectives and making decisions. I do want to make it explicit that our hope is, and our expectation is, that this afternoon for you is a commitment from now until 5 p.m. So it's a little bit different than the morning, where we had some flex and flow, and it was pretty easy to adapt. But where we're going this afternoon will require a little more investment in terms of staying in group exercises, practicing skills together, relating to each other as a learning unit, in a way, or a learning team. You'll be together in groups from now until almost until close. So it will create a disruption if you're kind of still in the butterfly mode of going session to session and leaving your group. Not only an impact on the team, we'll definitely miss you, but it also will change sort of where the group is in terms of the learning experiences that we've designed for you. So I want to give you permission, if you have plans or other commitments, taking what I just said into consideration, you'll be loved either way. If you feel moved that because you can't commit to that, to stay until 5, I'm totally fine with that, and I would actually invite you, just to be really legitimate about our expectations, kind of invite you, given that container, if you have to choose to do something else now, that would be so fine with us, and just in case you didn't realize that was happening. Is that fair? Yeah, okay. And can you imagine if you were the facilitator having to deliver that message? What's the complexity? Just in terms, like, can we just take this moment in terms of the perspectives as a facilitator that maybe I even missed that would be helpful in terms of what I just did or what I did? Can you take a perspective on that? Maybe, what did you notice? What's part of this? What's at play? What values, maybe, or polarities are present in this moment? Yeah. Right, so we know that committing, often a value in group work, is that you're committed to be in the group, and we sometimes neglect the other part, which is the ability to say, no, I'm not committed, and what do we do about that? So we want to normalize that choice, because commitment, we don't want false commitment, we don't want rah, rah, there's no other choice, let's go commitment. We want a really congruent commitment that's coming from the integrity of the individual. And then once they're in the group can kind of co-construct the way it wants to roll, but that entering in is a big choice. It's important. So we also want to bring the other polarity up, as you mentioned, and then we want to just absolutely make both of equal value. They're both a neutral choice in terms of there's not one better answer, and that you would be loved even if you choose to leave this little tribe that's forming, that's totally fine. Yeah. What else did you notice? So I think you were next, and we'll just do a stack. Then we'll go to you and you. Sorry, I don't know your names yet. I think there was another person.
Yeah, what I heard was your commitment to the entire room, everyone in the room, getting what it is that you have to offer. I heard your commitment in that. And kind of a stand that if you hang in there, you'll get it. If you leave, your leaving will impact the result in untold ways, really.
We don't know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll benefit by your presence. Right. And we really don't know what we'll be missing, but we'd rather maybe experience it than miss it. But we don't want to be too gooey about the sentimentality of like, oh, come on, stay. We want people to be in their agency, right?
Were you next?
Well.
It doesn't matter. I only have a logistical question. I have a value around being able to pee when I want to.
Right.
So are we going to have a break?
Because open right there.
Please.
There are no bushes.
Please go. Yeah.
So
yeah,
just we'll have a break sometime.
Yeah.
As long as we
We do have a planned break, so okay, yes, you will be able to take care of your needs. Yeah, thanks. Okay, good. Yeah.
Well, what I'm thinking when hearing this announcement is that when we're able to take responsibility for our choice, we kind of give the freedom and the space for other people so they don't need to take care of us. Like, if we can take care of ourselves, like really consciously choosing, so it's easier for the people around.
Yeah, who else had something, a perspective or view on that? Okay, here and then Cindy Lou. Thank
you. Well, the moment you said your message, my curiosity and my commitment rise because I see that your courage, that you have something to say to us, but you also don't mind if you're here or not. So I'm actually more committed to stay because I'm curious. I don't want to miss it.
When you shared that we have to be in this room till 5, I noticed I got a little nervous. The level of commitment made me anxious.
There's a break, yeah. You can escape and then come back. Great. Yeah, so I guess the other thing I'll explicate is that my presence, my ability to be kind of here in this, we actually had a little discussion. Should we say something or not? How do we say it? What do we include? And for me, I wasn't ready to decide before lunch about what I would say because I still couldn't find how congruent I was with it. And I know if I was speaking to you from that place, there would be something waffling in what I was saying, like I would be so anxious or nervous and coming from an egoic place maybe of like, I don't want to push this on people or I don't want to be mean or, you know, all these self-judgments can come up. And as self as instrument, we can actually process that and find a place where we're speaking completely from integrity because I believe this is the right thing to do, not just for individuals, but also for the whole. So I'm considering that in my assessment about maybe going against the prevailing cultural norm of including everyone and just allowing everybody to come. Or at least maybe as a Canadian, I'm feeling that you know, there's a value around everybody should be allowed. So I just thought it, anyways, just in the moment, this is kind of what's coming up around even something simple like that, an instruction. So I haven't seen anybody fidget with your bags, like planning to get out without being noticed, but this could be a great time if you are choosing or have other plans that you need to commit to. Yeah. Were you going to say something? Okay, just waving. Hi. Good to see you. Yeah, so welcome. Okay, so we've been on a bit of a journey today, and Stephanie's... Oh, it's gone. Yay. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, noticing. Fantastic. Great. So lots of, I wasn't going to review the content, but just to note that one of the things that we've got a richness of learning here. We've got the ability to be facilitated, and we're doing a little bit of training and facilitation. You know, we're modeling facilitation, but we're also giving you some a little bit of theory or a little bit of orientation in terms of what integral facilitation is. So we're not purely just facilitating the group experience. But in terms of learning, we also have these beautiful visuals and kind of that record of some of the key points as seen by Stephanie in her perspective. And thank you. We're going to take pictures. You can take pictures. We'll take pictures and be able to share them. And do you want to say?
I'll offer something. Yeah. This is a collective memory, as I like to call it, from my perspective. However, this chart is for you, for the collective we.
Higher, yes.
Okay, it's for the collective we. So I invite you to come up and offer things that really stood out, had that, how did you say, the vibrance earlier? The vibrance that you really feel it needs to be on the chart in order for it to be complete for you. So please just feel welcome to do that. I have a little magic, I can change things up.
Watch for that magic. Great. Thanks, Steph. Good. So this morning we did start with an orientation overall into why we care as leaders, why we care about groups. Collaboration is the leading edge in terms of shifting culture. It has to happen in that we space. But the key that we're discovering, if we want to move into that and start to make things happen, is that we need to start with our inner evolution before we can have the desired impact on the outer revolution. So this inside journey includes some of the perspectives that we took this morning around self as instrument, around bulldozers and just distractions, working with distractions. Rob's going to close the door to make it a little bit easier. Thanks. And then looking at the energetics, the availability that we always have to take a read on what's happening or what wants to happen. A lot of people talk about emergence when we're working with groups. And our exploration took us into, the slide's still up there, sameness and difference, an experience so that you could feel in your interior your move towards sameness with one or two other people. And also, what's your experience of difference when it comes up? And noticing that in your interior and also in the quality of the conversation. So we played around with that dynamic and looked at some of the ways that it can impact our effectiveness or our capacity to deliver an experience that's useful for people. This afternoon, we're going to move into a little bit more on the skill side. So facilitation at its root is facile, to make it easy. And in the ease that we're creating, a lot of it, not exclusively, but a lot of it is interpersonal. It's in the relational space. Would you agree? Kind of that makes sense? So if you don't have people skills, it'd be more difficult to be an easeful facilitator. And that might be the starting point, just being more comfortable with yourself and others to make it easier to help groups. So in the interpersonal space, there's some really important skills, and we want to make the relationship not just of the skills, but what can allow us to have a more integrative perspective, a more complete perspective. And Cindy Liu and Rob's teaching this morning really reinforces that as integral, and this is a distinction, as an integral facilitator, I'm equally biased to all perspectives. So my skills, my interventions, the things I watch for can be influenced by how many perspectives I'm taking. We want to be able to tap into the diversity of what's here, what's on the surface, as well as what's in shadow and maybe not being spoken about. And the integral path allows us all to be students of perspectives, right? To take more perspectives, to be more inclusive with our view. And then we get to decide what needs to be brought to the surface or pointed out to the group or supported in the design of the work that we're doing. Make sense? Okay. So at this point, what I'd like to do is work with the three primary perspectives that can be that are really fundamental to my work as a facilitator in terms of the skills that I use. And they're also fundamental to what's actually happening when we look at a group itself and look into what the group is talking about, their discussions, their conversations. Those perspectives can be super powerful, extremely powerful, in terms of helping the group clarify and align and enjoy whatever their experience is, whatever the intention of their experience is. And I know sometimes it's planning or dreaming something up together, visioning, or having a shared learning experience, whatever it is, these perspectives can be really, really valuable and help us take views on it. And I'll be interested at the end of this little section that we're doing to hear your points of view on how other ways that it can add value beyond what we might discuss. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a structure. It will be familiar probably to most, if not all of you. Some of it, and the emphasis here is really on the skills that allow us as facilitators to be more inclusive and to create more ease and enjoyment. Are you with me? Yes. Are you really with me?
Yes.
Yes. Should we let the room next door know how many people are in here? Are you really, really with me?
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Oh, that made me so happy. That's so good. Okay. Settle down. Okay. So the three primary perspectives are easily found in the interpersonal or facilitation space. They're really easily found by three pronouns. The voice of who is speaking, or we could say the perspective that we're taking, from first, second, and third person. Make sense? Okay. And if I'm going too fast or it's not clear, I have lots of support, people that can translate for me and make it more clear. But the primary orientation that we're taking is that we have a first-person perspective. And that first person, what's the pronoun we speak from when we're in first person or seeing as first person? I, and it's already there as a, just read the chart, yeah, I. Yeah, so when I'm speaking from I'm speaking from my own first person in perspective, I can say that. And let's go to the skill. So the skill in first person, if we pay attention to what does it take to be better at that, to making that particular contribution of perspectives, the I perspective or first person, the skill is expressing. So what we might do as we go through this right now is just think, where might your strengths be and where might there be some stumbles? And I'm noticing myself even as I do this, wow, I'm maybe not expressing myself very clearly. I become conscious of it because we're talking about the perspective. So expressing, being able to speak clearly, to communicate in words or body language or in a congruent way, that's part of the expression, first person. Second person, we move to that. Second person, and we could follow this on the quadrants. First person, it's kind of holy, anointing the wall with our integral mat, with our quadrants. Second person, we're speaking here about sort of the, we're orienting to the you at this point. And what's the skill for second person? Listening, receiving, being present for what's being communicated. Awesome. The third person perspective is the world of, we'll go to the other side of the quadrants, the exteriors, and third person is, what's the pronoun? It. It or its, or the bulldozer out there is making noise, or this carpet is striped. We can kind of agree on those facts. So the objective thing that is in our awareness, we can talk about it and give it a name. So those are kind of the basic things. The skill for a third person that's important for facilitation at this level of consciousness or with this capacity to take perspectives is observation. And we're going to be doing a little bit of practice with each one of these so that you can have your own experience and takeaway about where you find ease and it's simple and straightforward and maybe where you may be stumbling. And this practice is something I've personally have been practicing these skills probably since the, I'm guessing since the first workshop where I met Diane 10 years ago. And it's really one of those endless practices. And you can continue to find new depth and bring more rigor and sensibility in these skills. And then you can start to really see how it's applicable in so many different situations and so useful. So maybe I'll leave it at that so we can get right into the activity, and then we'll hear from you about what you're noticing, what you're experiencing, and any questions and that kind of thing. Does that sound like a plan? Okay, good. What a relief. Were you going to say something else? Okay, thumbs up. Okay, good. Thanks. Okay, so for this exercise, we're going to be working in triads. And I would like you to get in a triad, and then I'll give you an instruction about who is going to do what. We'll give each one of you, just a little preview, an opportunity to practice each one of these skills. So we'll have a chance to, you'll be able to compare and contrast your experience from each one of those. So let's take it from there, go right into the experience, and then we have a little layer of a little developmental perspective from Rob and some application conversation from you about how this actually informs us in facilitation. Okay? All right. So to get into groups, groups of three, can we just cluster people you're sitting with and get into triads. Pull your chairs into a little bit more of the space of the room so you're not too close. And if anyone needs to find a trio, put your hand up and we'll help you connect. So spread out if you can. It'll be a lot easier for your concentration. Yeah, do you want to spread out? Okay, good. So everyone has a group. Thanks for your attention. Thank you. Thanks, that was pretty smooth, wouldn't you say? Awesome. So I'm going to give you something to start your experience. I'm going to ask you, each one of you, to share a time in your life when you noticed your perspective shift, where you gained the ability to take maybe new or different perspectives. So that's kind of the subject matter that you're going to share, and each one of you will have a chance to share a story about that in your first person. And I would love to maybe just invite an example from Rob. Can you just tell us a little, give us a little top of mind anecdote about it when your perspective shifted? Just to model first person.
So one of the shifts that I had, I was, I don't know, freshman in high school, and I, my friends and I, we had collected a large quantity of beer cans. And it was like our first kind of bash, as we were calling it. And we were all very excited. And of course, we had purchased very inexpensive beer, which is, and it was illegal in the States. And we had hidden them in bushes. And of course, it's the summertime, so you can imagine the delight of pulling out warm, cheap beer from the bushes. And I was kind of excited because this is like what everybody's all excited about, like, oh, let's drink lots of beer. And I cracked open my beer can, and you know that like, I can't really make the sound. And then I took a little sip, and I was so utterly disappointed. And I was, in that moment, I had this big perspective shift. First, I was like, this tastes miserable. And I was like, I am so done with this. I'm not, like, I can't do this. Literally, it's so bad. I'm done. I'm done drinking. And I'm having this kind of experience, and this thought cascades through my head, and it says, if you want to change, and it's in my voice, but it was coming from some other dimension of Rob, where this voice kind of just, if you want to change your state, do it with your mind. And I was like, and then I went into this anxious response. It was like really clear, and then I was like, oh no, I'm in that after school special. We have that in the States where you watch the after school special and it's about peer pressure, and I'm like, oh no, here it comes. Like, my life is turning into an after school special because I'm gonna say I'm not drinking, and I can feel the wave of the peer pressure. But I'm this, like, this voice in my head is like, you know, really clear, so I'm done. That's it. That was the end of my drinking career. And I was like, you guys, I'm not doing this. And my friends were so elated. They were so excited because it meant more beer for them. And all of my beer cans had disappeared within like 15 seconds, and they were all just happy as can be. And I started on this exploration.
Awesome. So how did he do in expressing his first person perspective? His experience.
That's so hard for me.
Yeah, right. Not. Can you stay just for a moment? So you're going to take a turn. You'll have 2 minutes to share a time in your life when your perspective shifted. And we'll ring the bell. And the second step is that as you were doing that, if I was in the second person role, and I'll assign your roles in just a moment. If I'm in second person, I'm practicing second person skill, which is listening. So I'm listening to your story, and then I'm going to have a time when you're finished to actually reflect back to make sure that you're being received, that you can feel my listening, not just by seeing me listen, but by hearing the reflection. So I might say something like, wow, thanks. So what I heard you say is you had a plan for your very first beer drinking thing with your friends. It was kind of secret and kind of daring for you to do that. And you kind of had an idea that you were going to drink it and maybe get drunk. Cool. And then kind of something happened with this hot beer in a can when you opened it and tasted it that completely shifted you out of that like desire to get drunk. Tasted miserable, I think you said. And then a voice came in and said, if you want to change your states, do it with your mind. And then you said something about peer pressure, and you were able to not enact that, to kind of choose out, and your beer got redistributed. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or is that pretty much what you wanted me to hear? Yeah. Okay, great. So thank you. So just demonstrating the reflection back, right, of the key things that you heard. And it might be an energetic hit or something that he's saying, but I'm not adding my own interpretation. I'm not asking him questions about, well, how many kids were, you know, how many guys were you with, and did anybody get in trouble, or did anyone get sick with all that hot beer? I'm not getting into the story. I'm just reflective listening back. The third person is going to be in third person observing, or sometimes we say witness, which is not, they're not really part of this conversation. Actually, they're so good at observing and being the witness that we don't even see them right now. This third person that's here.
And it was kind of like what they were doing watching us.
Oh, yeah, they were all witnessing. So thank you for demonstrating that. Very good. Yeah, thank you. Good. And you're maintaining an objective perspective. And what you might notice is, when are there times when you want to join in? You're kind of part of it. And then can you go back to that neutrality and be objective? And what is it that's in your perception when you're in third person? It might be the content of what we're talking about, the story. It might be watching the memory come up in Rob and, like, what does that mean to him, kind of engaging there. Or it could be something like, the bulldozer has stopped. Stillness. You know, what's available to you from that mode? Make sense? Okay, point at the ceiling, if you would. One finger, point at the ceiling. And now point at the person in your trio who will go first. Okay. Great. Rob, thank you. Thank you. Okay, good. So we're going to pace you through this. We'll keep time for you. And because we have so many groups at once, I'm going to ask you for a little bit of heightened attention to the instructions, so that we can keep on time and coordinate the groups. We have more than one group, so we want to make it easy for you that way. So we're going to start with the person who was selected or pointed to the most in your group will go first. You'll do what Rob did. You'll share the time in your life when your perspective shifted. You'll have 3 minutes for that, and we'll ring the bell. Then the person who is listening, which is the person to your left, so maybe just kind of turn and note that's the person you're talking to, and you want to face, you want to do exactly this. Have your chairs arranged. That person will reflect back, as I did, for 2 minutes, and then the third person will be observing the whole structure, and then we'll do a little bit of a debrief with some guidance, okay? So first person will be sharing your story about a time when your perspective shifted. Second person will be listening, and listen for the bell. Okay, thank you. Nice sharing. So now it goes to the second person who was practicing listening, and this reflection is part of that skill. So please reflect back to the person that shared and watch for, you know, the signs that things are congruent or maybe need to be clarified. And you can always say, would you like to add anything, or did I miss anything important to you? Just to confirm that you've got it. You'll have 2 minutes. Please start. Okay, thank you. How'd you do? Generally, how'd you do? Good? Good. Did you feel like you were practicing something that was useful? Yeah. Yeah, good. Okay. So keep note, just kind of make a mental note of anything that you want to bring into our debrief. I'd like to move to the roles now. From the first person that was in first person will be in third. The second person listener will now be the first person expressor, storyteller, and so on around the circle. Okay? And you can change who you're facing. And remember, the third person is a witness. You're not part of the conversation. So you might even distance yourself a little bit if you need to, just so the connection isn't as potent there. Okay, so we'll give you 3 minutes to share your first person. Okay, first person story of a time when your perspective shifted with the new first person. Does that make sense? If you need help, let me know. Confused? Thank you. Okay. I think you know what's next. Second person listener, this is your opportunity to demonstrate your listening and look for that confirmation that you were in the same conversation you were receiving. Okay, so we'll give you 2 minutes, please. Okay, thank you. Thanks. Did you hear the bell? Okay, good. This is where the oxytocin starts to flow. Yeah. Rena, would you mind sharing what you said? I'll give you the microphone. It was so sweet. I looked over.
I just said, yeah. I said, I feel very well heard after sharing my story. Yeah, he reflected back beautifully.
I don't know about your life, but I live with a third person, a person who prefers third person. I call home to connect. How's it going? I've been away for a week and a half. How's it going? And it's like, great. It's 17 degrees Celsius today. We're expecting rain tonight. And I go, oh, great. Okay, how's the dog? She ate her food all at once this morning. Great. How are you doing? Good. I'm going to the store this afternoon. So there's a little bit of, you know, noticing like how rare for any of these skills, like sometimes it's rare to be heard. Sometimes it's rare to be in our first person. Sometimes it's rare to have the ability to be objective and not like totally engaged in the drama of what's going on. I'm exaggerating a bit. But you see what I mean? Okay, good. Let's go to the third round to give the final person in your group the chance for the first person experience. You know how to switch your chairs around. First, second, third. Okay. And you're going to share a time in your life when your perspectives changed. Please proceed. Thank you. That's so loud. Thanks. Now, let's go to second person. It's your turn to reflect back and give them an experience that they've been heard. In a verbal way, energetic way. Okay, thanks very much. Thank you. Good. So I'm super curious as to what you noticed within your group, and I'd love to give you some time together before we come back into the plenary session for you to just get a little bit of closure, like share what you were noticing, what you found difficult, where you might have gone naturally but you worked against, noticed it and kind of experimented. Maybe you picked something up that was for your own learning that you were surprised about. We'll close that door. Good. Okay, so let's take a few minutes. I'll give you a little bit of time, but I'd like you to share, just share open. You don't have to follow a format, just loosely, and I'll give you, let's say, 4 minutes for a little bit of debrief inside your group. Yes?
We're not looking at the third person. We're looking at our experiences interacting from first and second.
Well, you've all been in third person the whole time silently, so this could be a time when you're actually talking about that as well, for sure. This is where you bring that in. So anything that's relevant to you. Okay, great. Let's include, for sure. Great, okay. Thanks. Okay, if we're paying attention to energy, how high is the energy right now? It's hot, isn't it? Yeah. How high is the heat right now? Yeah, physical heat, the temperature. Yeah, so high energy? Okay, good. It's pretty good. Is it changing? From here a moment ago to somewhere else? Now? Where is it now in this moment? Still pretty high? Great. What about our coherence? There we go. Yeah. So coherent, when we ask about coherence, it starts like, what's the individuation or the differentiation of, it might be our mind states, our point of view, our opinions. Are we together or are we lots of separateness? Like sameness and difference? Yeah.
Feels like on the same page within the group. Yeah, it feels like on the same page and coherent within the group. Have no idea about the rest of the audience.
Good, good. So we're moving from a discussion where there might have been quite a bit of coherence amongst the group. You had a shared task, you were paying attention to each other, really attending. Now we're back into the large group, and we have this issue as a facilitator to shift from sort of small group coherence into finding the large group coherence. And why do I want to establish that before I kind of give you instructions about what's next?
The question is, what's next?
We're sharing from the groups. Like,
yeah. Okay, well, let's finish one thought at a time because we're still kind of in it. Yeah. So why do I pause and make sure we're coherent before I keep going with the next thing?
Because you want to make it a collective learning experience, which benefits from all the different groups.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's really going to benefit the whole if we create the whole, recreate the whole in a way. Did you want to add?
No, I was just wondering, the moment you asked, I thought, well, what is the next step? To what is your intention? Already knowing what the next step would be. So should we stay in small groups or are we going to move into new groups? So in any case, it always needs a sense for the whole before we can go back into a part, whether it's the same part or not. Otherwise, the whole thing breaks up, I guess.
Excellent. Yeah, fantastic. So there's lots of questions in a transition. Questions come up, people need to find out what's next, secure themselves, decide if they're going to move in quickly or do they have to strategize about who they talk to, all kinds of things happen. So you always want to get that more kind of a still point in a way in that shift. Yeah.
And I think it also gives us the possibility to transfer that coherence we had in the small group to the bigger group. We have a chance to connect with ourselves and bring that kind of coherence into the bigger.
Thank you. Thanks. Yes. So,
I think also for you as a facilitator, to always bring the group together again and to feel how the group's level is, to decide how to go on, because I think you don't have a fixed plan, you just look where is the group and then I decide how to go on, depending on the level where they are.
Fantastic, yes, I'll just repeat that in the moment I'm always able, if I have open awareness, and I'm kind of here and ready to respond, I have lots of choices about what I do next, and I can participate with reality rather than, I think what Rob said earlier, was it you, Rob? I don't want to, or maybe Cindy Lou, like, rather than push against it, I can actually just join it where it is right now. And so if the group is playful, I can move into maybe amplifying that and creating more play. If the group is getting tired, we can do something soothing to kind of bring us back that way. So I have lots more choices based on what's happening right now, not my plan necessarily. Yeah. The other thing is about kind of pushing into it, like noticing that. I don't want to have to yell into a microphone to get your attention. And sometimes there's an urgency about the next thing where I try to impose it when you're not ready to receive it. So I want to listen to that part too. Great. So I'm curious, in terms of what was coming out of your coherent small group discussions, what did you learn? What was useful to you? What applications can you see for facilitation in the work that you're doing? Did you notice any preferences? How did you work with those? So those kinds of things. And Cindy Lou and Rob are also going to weigh in on this. If you have questions or things that we can reflect back yet that are helpful.
Yeah, I have a question. Like, in what kind of setting would you use this method? Because, like, I don't know, I just imagine to be, like, in a corporate setting, like, me talking to one of my employer, like, the people working in my team. So for me, it's, like, hard to imagine to do it with someone who's not maybe, you know, doesn't know the method or is, like, open to integral. Like, how would you, or in what context are you using this?
Yeah, thank you. So there's a couple of things happening here today because we're delivering a learning experience to grow your ability to be a more masterful integral facilitator. This is not necessarily a technique or a process that is what an integral facilitator does. So it's not, we're not training you to take a methodology that we're using today and then implement it. But you might, if you were doing leadership, so I'll go to an answer to your question where you would use it. It very much could be part of, let's say, a leadership development initiative. You have a new project team and you want the capacity of the team to grow in terms of how well we communicate with each other. And if they're usually, often, let me say it that way, in corporate environments, our ability to listen and to receive is not very big, and we need to work on that for teamwork to be more effective. Would you agree? Yeah. So it can actually be an exercise that could be useful in that context, and you know, you can integrate it into team building, growing skills. And the more subtle thing is that as a facilitator, I can apply this understanding of how the perspectives are showing up in a meeting, in a session, in our ongoing conversations, and almost use it as a way of looking at the perspectives that our team can take. And I can go, wow, we're so in third person. If I'm in the reinventing organizations world and wanting to bring a more people-centric approach to work, I don't want only the exteriors or the third-person view in our conversations. I want to bring the personal, the interior of the individual and the culture into the conversation. So that means what perspectives need a little bit more help? First and second. So it almost gives me some guidance about what to listen for and what to invite in conversation. So I might ask individuals for more of their opinions in a meeting. Instead of only talking about the facts and the strategy and the plan, I can shift it into including a little bit more, picking up more of the first-person expression as an example. Does that help kind of relate to what you're saying or asking? Yeah, good. And anything about your experience in the group and what you noticed as yourself as instrument?
As recently having shifted from being very much a scientist to investigating some of the other quadrants, the interior quadrants, what really surprised me was how different the third-person perspective was. I have a tendency to have a very negative feeling towards the third person because it's something that I'm pulling back from. And when I was listening or when I was watching, whatever it was, when I wasn't the person listening, I found it really difficult to disengage from the story because that's my natural tendency, is to want to engage and to, you know, give some value to the person who's speaking. But I found I tried to force myself to not listen to the story and step back, and the kind of information I was getting was very different, and it was still valuable. Like, I was noticing the interaction between the two people, that there was body language and there was nervousness in the speaker that was broken down by just a few, you know, well-placed questions or comments from the speaker from the listener that was an invitation. And if I had been listening only to the story and not stepping back and taking that third person perspective, I might have missed that. And I think sometimes especially with certain kinds of people who tend to engage really closely with people. I bet a lot of people in this room would naturally be deep listeners. And I think there's things that we might miss if we're only listening and not stepping back and seeing the bigger picture. And as in complexity science terms, I think of that as actually jumping out. The levels in complexity science are different than in integral theory, but pulling back, zooming out of a situation and looking just at the physicality of it can actually give you some very interesting information. Well, more from the third person, I would say.
Being in the observer position was really, again, a really intriguing experience, because when you hold the space, you fade out of the story, and you're in the energy of the conversation, but you really can't follow the story anymore. So I just got little bits and pieces of that. But it was awesome to be there and watching how the story, the intensity of the story being told and the intensity of the listening, which was just beautiful to be in that spot. And I think that's also maybe a little bit of the being able to kind of zoom out without losing it. So that kind of perspective, which I thought was beautiful. And maybe also to something that you said about the when do you use this? I think whether it's a learning setting like this, or maybe a facilitation of a process, when you are able to sense and be with whatever is happening in the room, and then bringing it back in the I perspective, is, from my experience, one of the most powerful tools to have as a facilitator, because all you do is you're offering your perspective and your assumption, and even using these words. So using that shift from the listening over to mirroring back what your perception of what's actually happening here right now is really, really important, I think.
Am I speaking to my experience that happened right now, or?
Yeah, I didn't feel it was answered, actually. The question I was speaking to was when I, as a teacher, having a specific modality, there is an option to put myself in comparison as a difference to other teachers who are teaching something similar. And so that's kind of an edge. Like, I've seen some teachers really emphasize that we're really different than the other people, and this is why, and we're better, and or whatever. But I've also noticed a contraction that occurs in me around teachers like that. And at the same time, what I offer has some differences, or at least I believe it does. That was my original question around the same difference. Yeah.
Can we
what? Sure, yeah.
And would you like to share something about your experience or kind of what you're taking?
Yeah, I can. I noticed in the second, when I was playing the you as a listener, that I felt very comfortable, almost like empowered. There was like already a knowing that I would do it well, so to speak. And I was able to click into that position, partially because I understood the rules of what we were doing. Maybe in a more casual situation, I might not have felt that skillful. And then I also noticed in the eye that I was a little more shaky, I would say. Yeah. And partially, again, because I was really aware of what the rules were, that the specific question, and then like, am I hitting that on the dot or not? And I think that was just another insight I'm having to how my own self relates to rules or to the intention.
Thanks for being bold enough to share that with us. Good. Rob, can you give us a developmental perspective on this, please?
Maybe.
3 minutes or less. No.
I asked Rebecca, I was like, do you want a 45-minute lecture or
2 hours?
2 hours. So the quadrants, right? And thank you for a beautiful diagram. We obviously are born kind of immersed in this one, right? I don't know. You might have seen my four-year-old running around. I'm doing a lot of coaching with him around picking up the second-person perspective, right? But it's emergent. Like, if I walk him into it, he will get it and understand it. And, you know, I'm like, okay, so your little brother, he's 11 months. Like, do you think it feels good if you grab his head and just move it where you want it to go, you know? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, so how do you think that makes him feel? He's like, bad. I'm like, good, very good. You know, now 6 minutes later, that conversation's gone and he's got a hold of his head again. So we can feel like the organic nature that, like, we're kind of entrenched in our own first-person perspective, and then we kind of start to take on our second-person perspective, and then he'll start to think in more abstract ways and look at, quote, it later, right? So that's a basic orientation around development. But what I'll just offer is that Ken's orientation around quadrants, is there a hierarchy to these? Let me ask that question a little bit more specific. Is there a hierarchy between these quadrants? No. And the winning prize goes, what's your name? Mark. Mark gets the winning prize. Yeah. So this sense that these are actually individually developing skills. Right? So we might start in first person and kind of move, but if I immerse myself in an expressive way over the next 30 years where my vocation, my relational biases, everything is groomed about Rob being more and more expressive, and I keep getting rewarded for that, I'll spend a whole lot more time there, right? And I'll develop an organismic bias to first person, right? And so it's a subtle hierarchical orientation where my preference, I think, expressing is better than listening or witnessing, right? And we can kind of create a orientation around this for each of these kind of native perspectives. And so what I would invite you to think about is how can you complexify or develop particular skill sets in each domain, right? And when you're working with teams or organizations, right, just as from a cultural evolutionary standpoint, these were all kind of mashed together, and modernity, the good, the true, and the beautiful, helped to differentiate them, right? And so we're creating more space. And so when you're working with an organization, they might be working in a place where these aren't really clearly differentiated, right? There's, you know, they're using I to claim facts that other people might not necessarily be enrolled with or have access to, right? Anybody ever run into that? Or they'll start building coalitions and people aren't actually with them. Anybody see that? It's one of my favorites, but so this idea of helping people develop and separate is something that is really useful. So I'll just pause there, but hopefully just give you a little taste that these are individually developing and that you have an organismic bias that privileges and creates an unnatural hierarchy, and we might even say a dominator hierarchy. So for example, for me, like listening, the core skill in listening is actually dropping your reference point, dropping yourself, right? Like really good listeners, nobody's actually there assessing and interpreting. It's just massively empty receptivity, and that enables you to take somebody's interior deeply into your awareness. And then once they're done, now you kind of bring yourself back online, right? And so just to notice, where are you really capacitated? Where have you really practiced and had lots and lots of learning cycles? And then how do you put yourself into different ones so that you can kind of flesh out the diversity of you? How long was that? Was that like 25 minutes? I have no sense of time right now. No? That was okay. Absolutely.
From your practice, or in theory, or like however, is there a way to be present at the moment, maybe in the conversation or in the interaction, in at least several of those perspectives simultaneously? Or it's only like one way at a time?
Easy there, Tiger. The advanced curriculum has made its way into the room. Okay, so lovely question. So I'm kind of privileging using it in a sequential way, right? Which is how we'll learn. And then over time, we'll start to notice that it's happening all at the same time, right? And so, yes, like you can totally be intimate with all these because you are all those things. And this is kind of the awareness that's beyond identity. Right, there's an awareness that's both intimate with Rob, that's feeling your inquiry. We're building kind of our relationship. Some part of Rob's awareness is present there. And then there's also kind of a collective attunement to, is that machine going to come across the back here and just drown us out with, you know, mechanical sounds? So, and the more we practice self as instrument and deepen our ability to liberate our awareness from our fixed reference points, it starts happening more and more organically in a moment. And that way we don't have to sequence it. Does that answer your question? Okay. So we could go on for indefinitely, but I'm going to let Cindy Lou add something very quickly to that.
Don't go away. Just when we go into the afternoon the rest of the day, I would encourage you to play with that. And it's similar to what you presence as well. And anyone who wants to. But like right now, you're aware of your first person experience. You're aware of second person relating that's happening. And we're aware of the third person, the it's. And then the, you know, lower right or third person plural, like Rob was saying, it's all these things that we can hear the chime of the tractory thingy guy out there. We're aware it's warm in the room. I can see you agreeing, smiling, it's so sweet. And I can feel the whole room is still. We can feel the energy, the perspectives, the presence, right? The sameness and difference. We feel the cohesion that's here right now. So as a facilitator, I think, I didn't catch your name earlier. Yeah. Faye, earlier, it's like we want to shift our perspective. So it's almost like, I like to think of it here, but use whatever works for you. Where like we really can hold it all in the moment. So you can practice that while you're at dinner tonight. You can practice it right now. You can practice it when you're facilitating your flex flow conversations we're going to move into shortly. So it's a great thing to be aware of. It's fun how you guys are bringing that into the room. And it's something that we can... yeah, just do all the time.
Okay, last takeaway. Then I promise I'll give it back to you. So one of the empiric findings that is really interesting for us as facilitators, as leaders, is to value and norm taking multiple perspectives. Because if the cultural surround doesn't value it, and it's one of the reasons why I'm assuming we're all sharing, like, holding and participating in more diversity of perspectives is good, right? But if that's not shared, multiple perspectives disequalize and dysregulate teams, and they perform at lower levels. So just in terms of performance output. But if leadership, or if you as a facilitator, you as a manager, or you as just a participant, but really invoking the value of multiple orientations, just that little shift creates more creativity and performance in teams. All right. Thanks, everybody. Come chat with me later. Rebecca.
Yeah. And actually, you might even want to do that on a break, which we're going to take now for 15 minutes. So we'll give you a chance to get a little air, a little oxygen, take care of your needs. And if you can come back in 15 minutes, we're going to go into a practice session, a facilitated conversation, where all of this will kind of come into a real
live experience of group dynamics and that thing. Close the door. 3:45. Is that the time? Just give, yeah. 3:45. We'll be back starting, okay? Thank you very much. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Cindy Lou. Thanks, everybody.